Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Yat Karoshi Arashnashi, Yat Juhoshi Tapasya, Tat Kurushva, that all that you do, all that you eat, all austerities that you may perform should be done as an offering to me. So today is an auspicious occasion, a truly auspicious occasion, because it is a marriage in its true sense. In every tradition throughout the world, we find that marriages are performed either in the mosque or in the church or in the temple. Marriage is a sanctified ceremony by which the husband and the wife are coming together to make sacred vows before God. Unfortunately, in society today, most people come to marriages, and the fact that there's a priest or that there is some spiritual personality conducting the marriage, it is simply a formality that nobody really knows about or cares about. And perhaps this is the reason, one of the great reasons, that the world is falling into the abyss of immorality and godlessness. What you are witnessing today is a true and pure ceremony of marriage. Because the husband and the wife, Rajiv and Vinita, they are coming together to make vows, to dedicate their lives together in the service of God and humanity. It is not just a ritual for them. It is a sacrifice. A sacrifice for the purification of their heart and a dedication to the service of God. They are making a vow today to keep Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord of all creation, as the common focus point that is always to be between them. Krishna says in Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that he is the proprietor of everything that exists. Therefore, a husband should not think, this is my wife. And the wife should not think, this is my husband. Because with this artificial, illusory sense of proprietorship, the tendency of exploitation takes place. According to the Shastra, the wife should be seen by the husband as the sacred property of God. He is being entrusted to care for the wife in the service of God. She is not to be seen simply as an object for his own gratification. She is seen as the property of God being entrusted by Krishna for his care and protection. And the wife, according to the Shastra, she sees the husband as the representative of Krishna, Bhagwan. That she is to serve, to be faithful toward, to be chaste toward throughout her whole life in the service of the Lord. In the country that I'm from, America, it is a statistic that 67% of marriages end in divorce within the first 3 years. Because the basic premise of their relationship is mutual exploitation. What can I get from you? But marriage in its true sense, according to all the pure religious systems of the world, it is a relationship of sacrifice and service toward one another with God in the center. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains very nicely the duties of a husband and wife in a spiritual marriage relationship. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Narada Muni, what are the duties of grihasthas, householders? Narada said, the first most important thing is to know that you are both eternally servants of Krishna, of God, and to respect one another in that sense, and to maintain sanctity and purity in your relationship. It is the most essential duty to regularly associate with saintly people, sadhu satsang, to hear from saintly persons, and to become the servants of saintly persons. In fact, our own Gurudev, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he used to recall when he was a small child, his father and mother, before eating dinner every day, they would invite at least five saintly devotees of God, sadhus, to their home. With their own hands, they would feed them sumptuously, satisfy them, and have their little son assist. And after hearing the philosophy of life from them, they would ask the sadhus, please bless us. They didn't ask for any material blessings, but pray for the blessing that our son becomes a pure devotee of Sri Radharani. According to the Bhagavatam, this is the first duty of a husband and wife, together to hear from saintly persons and to serve them. And then it is explained in Bhagavatam that one must endeavor for livelihood. The husband must provide all necessities for the wife and children. But it must be done as far as possible in a very honest, straightforward, and moral way. And that one should not be greedy, but one must be very charitable. One should be willing to live a simple life. And Narada Muni explains, the Bhagavatam describes, that a husband and a wife should consider all people in need to be their own children. That they should have given charity to the poor people, to the lower caste people who are suffering, and care for them not as a formality or for a tax write-off, but in real compassion. And what is the greatest charity? The greatest charity is to give the highest wealth, which is God consciousness, to another. Because in this world, almost everyone is spiritually poverty stricken. When you are in poverty, you are hungry. It's easy to feed a person's belly some food and satisfy their hunger. If you have the means, you must do that. But even the richest, most people of aristocracy, they are suffering the hunger of the heart. As much, if not more, than the poor. They are lonely, and they have to invent so many devices to try to forget the loneliness within their hearts. They have to sit for hours in front of the televisions or with all sorts of social events to try to forget that hunger of their hearts. The rich, the poor, all classes are longing for knowledge and love of God. And to assist that charitable work is the greatest welfare work. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great avatar of Krishna in this age of Kali Yuga, he has given us this instruction that there is welfare that is necessary for the body, for the mind, and for the soul. For the body, we must give a person whatever medical needs, whatever food he requires. But let that food be Krishna prasad, so that it purifies the heart as well. For the mind, we must be kind, considerate, respectful, the friend of all living beings. And for the soul, we must give knowledge of the path of how to love and serve God. This type of charity can deliver a person from the sufferings of birth and death. Marriage is meant for the purpose of making these vows, to live according to these principles, to be exemplary within society of how a person can be productive, responsible, and purely compassionate, pure, and God-conscious. In our recent history, there was a great devotee of the Lord of the name Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Such an example he was. Srila Bhaktivinoda, his wife's name was Bhagavati Devi Dasi. He had 10 children. And he was a magistrate in the British courts. This is when India was under the British control. And he was considered in all of the land of India by the British to be the most proficient and valuable of all magistrates. He would rise every morning at around midnight. And he would sit in meditation on the holy name of God for about 2-3 hours, chanting on his beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then he would absorb his mind in writing spiritual books that were applicable to the people of the time to elevate their consciousness. He wrote over 100 books, extracting the essence of all the Vedas and making them understandable to the common man. And then, along with his family, they would all have aarti together. They would worship the beautiful form of Sri Krishna. They would discuss Bhagavad philosophy together. Then he would take some prasad. And then he would go to the courts. He would be there by 10 o'clock every morning, punctual. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was never late for anything. He had a principle to always arrive according to one's responsibilities early. And he would hear 50 to 60 cases a day. What any other magistrate took 1.5 hours to sit to judge, he would do it in 5 minutes. Because he had such clear vision and such pure motive, he could see right into the heart of everyone who came before him. And within 5 minutes, he would make decisions. And in 2 minutes, he would write perfectly efficient notes on that particular case. When he was older, he wanted to retire. But the British government said, there's nowhere in the whole world to find a magistrate so efficient, so proficient, and so responsible as you. We cannot allow you to retire. He was a person who was thoroughly responsibility in his duties in this world. And his wife and all of his 10 children and all of their relatives They were all perfectly feeling protected by him. He was providing all their necessities in a wonderful but simple way. And after he would come home, he would take some dinner with his family, and then he would go to the villages with many of his family members to distribute prasad, spiritual food, to hungry people, and to give lectures on the goal of life and how to attain it. And he would hold wonderful kirtans to teach people the process of chanting the name of God. Of course, such a great personality we cannot imitate, but we can surely endeavor to follow in his footsteps. A man who was thoroughly responsible socially with his family, to his society, to the government, but at the same time centering everything in devotion and love and service toward Krishna. And what was the result? That his whole family followed in his footsteps and became great, great devotees of the Lord. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The Brahma Sutra explains that this human form of life is meant for self-realization. Simply to earn money to maintain a family is really not any advancement over the animal species. If you observe the birds and the trees, they have their nest. We have our house. It may be a big, beautiful palace, or it may be a simple room. But what is the difference between the nest of a bird and the house of a rich man? It is a place where the family eats together, sleeps together, mates together. And the bird, the husband bird, he'll go out every day. Sometimes the wife as well. The wife stays home and takes care of the little birds. The husband goes and brings back worms or fruits or whatever and feeds the children. Similarly, in human society, we are going to work, we are bringing back money to provide the necessities and to enjoy together. This is of the same level as the animals. What differentiates the human beings from the animal species of life? That we have the capacity to inquire into the nature of our existence, into the higher truths of reality. Who am I? Where am I coming from? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? How can I free myself from the sufferings of birth, old age, disease, and death? This is the purpose and goal of human life. And all of our family responsibilities, social responsibilities are meant to be centered around that principle. To try to separate God consciousness or your religion from the rest of your life is an illusion. It must all be integrated as one harmonious offering at the feet of God. We are not these bodies. The body is always changing. From boyhood to youth to old age, the consciousness within the body remains the same. That consciousness is the symptom of the presence of the eternal soul, the jiva atma. We are living within this body just as we are living within a house, or just as we are moving within a car, an automobile. But we should know that we are not the automobile. We are the person within the automobile. But we must take good care of the automobile because we have many purposes to fulfill through it. Similarly, it is our duty to keep our body healthy, to keep our body clean, to keep it efficient, to do our work, our service in society. But this body will die, but the soul is eternal. Real marriage is when the husband and wife, they perceive that my real service to you is service to your soul. I will provide the necessities and the needs for your body and mind, but my first responsibility is to your soul. The soul is always thirsting to be reunited with God. The Greek word religion comes from the word religion comes from the Greek word religio, which means to bind one back to God. The word yoga means to reunite the soul again with the Supreme Soul or with Krishna. So this is the purpose of human life, which makes it different from the lower species. And if human beings do not accept this principle, they create havoc and chaos in this world. With this human intelligence and this human power that we have, if we use it in harmony with the will of God, we can make this world into the spiritual world. We could make it into a place of love and trust and harmony. But if we misuse our intelligence, then we pollute the air, we pollute the water, we pollute the earth, we pollute our minds, and the world becomes a place of competitive chaos. And that is what we have today. And that is why I beg you all to understand the greatness of these two people, Rajiv and Vinita. They are both initiated by an authorized spiritual master. They are associating with saintly persons, and they are being guided to live according to the highest principles of morality, charity, and devotion to God. And in their work, and in their family relationships, and in their seva, they will be giving the highest, most urgent, needed example of how families should live in this world. This ceremony, in their minds, they are fully conscious that they are sacrificing their lives in service to one another, in the service of Guru and Krishna. Just as Sita, she was willing to go to the forest for 14 years to follow her husband Ram, without concern of her own comforts or discomforts. That is the true quality of a wife. Not to simply ask the husband, "What will you provide for me?" But to request, "How can I serve you? How can I assist you? How can I provide for you?" And what is the duty of husband? When Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, Lord Sri Ramchandra was willing to risk and sacrifice his life to declare a massive war just to protect his wife Sita. This is the ideal example. It is a vow of sacrifice toward one another, not exploitation from one another. And that sacrifice is purely and wholly in harmony with the will of God, with the direction of the great saintly people. And on behalf of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is my Guru Maharaj, I would like to bestow the infinite blessings of Krishna and all the previous acharyas upon Rajiv and Vinita, Vrinda Priya and Ranshwar. And I would like to beg all of you to offer prayer to Lord Sri Krishna or to God in whatever name or form you worship Him. Pray that the blessings of the Lord be upon them, that they can make their lives together a perfect success in the loving service of Krishna and in the loving service of all humanity. In this age of Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya taught that the uniting factor which can keep everyone together on a very pure and a high spiritual platform is the congregational chanting of holy name. They are vowing today to keep the name of Krishna always between them. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Because by chanting the name of God, our heart becomes purified. The natural love of God that is dormant within us is manifested. And then, through all of our occupational duties in this world, we can offer that activity as an expression of our pure love of God and our pure compassion to all living beings. So I am very thankful and grateful to Ranshur and Brinda Priya, Rajiv and Vinita, for making this great sacrifice today and for giving us all the opportunity to see the path of perfection. Thank you very much.